All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome to this deep dive. Today we're heading, well, virtually, of course, to the oak forests of Turkey.
Ooh, sounds exotic.
It is, well, at least in the science world. We're looking at, well, it's all about beetles.
Really?
Beetles, yep. Brand new research, actually, all about some really special ones. And all this is based on a paper, a 2024 paper from, let me see if I can pronounce this, Bulletin de la Société Entomologique de France.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It is. I'm glad I got that right. But full disclosure, this paper, not exactly light reading, like seriously dense, lots of Latin names, you know, the drill, locations, all the scientific jargon you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So that's why, well, that's why you're here, to help us, help me decode it all, make sense of it for us normal folks.
Happy to. I mean, we're going to dig out those really interesting parts. And trust me, there are some real gems in there.
Awesome. So beetles, new species, we got that. But before we dive into all the really detailed stuff, can you kind of set the stage for us? Like, why should our listener, you know, someone out there listening right now, why should they care about some beetles found halfway across the world?
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's bigger than just beetles, right? This paper is exciting because it's, well, it's about new species discoveries, new to science, for, to be precise.
Four?
Yeah, four new species never, ever documented in Turkey before.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
And this is the thing. Finding new species, even if they're, you know, tiny beetles, it has huge implications.
Huge implications.
Yeah, for understanding, like, the biodiversity, you know, how much variety of life there is. And that tells us about the health of the whole planet, really.
So it's kind of like, okay, imagine discovering a hidden room in your house.
Oh, I love that.
Right. Suddenly there's this whole new space you never knew was there.
Full of potential and mysteries.
Exactly.
Mystery. And these new species are like that hidden room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're biodiversity we didn't even know existed. And the thing is, we can't protect what we don't know is there.
Makes total sense. Okay, so let's zoom in a bit then. Tell me, how did these beetles even, you know, come to light? Like, how were they found? What was the context of this research?
Well, so these beetles were discovered as part of this, it's called the Turkish Oak Habitat Project.
Okay, sounds important.
It is. It's also known as TOHP, by the way.
TOHP.
Yeah, much easier. Anyway, it's this massive collaboration, you know, universities in Sweden, universities in Turkey, all working together.
Teamwork.
Yeah, and their mission is basically to study, document everything they can about the amazing biodiversity in these Turkish oak forests.
So they're making like a giant list inventory of everything that lives there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
From the smallest, you know, little insects to the biggest trees. Really comprehensive.
Wow. That's dedication.
It is. And this beetle research, this paper we're talking about, it's just one piece of that puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
One piece that TOHP is trying to put together to understand these ecosystems and ultimately protect them.
I'm hooked. Okay, so how did they find these beetles? What were the methods?
Well, some of them are surprisingly simple. Like, they use a lot of what we call window traps.
Window traps? Like for windows?
No, but the name kind of makes sense. It's basically a clear plastic sheet. You put it on a tree trunk.
On a tree?
Yeah. And it's, think of it like a billboard for beetles.
Beetle billboard.
They fly into it, bump into it, and then fall down into this tray at the bottom. We collect them there.
Oh, that's clever.
It works.
What else?
They also use pitfall traps.
Pitfall, sounds ominous.
Well, they're basically little cups. You bury them in the soil.
In the soil?
Yeah, at the base of a tree. Beetles just walking along, they fall in, can't get back out.
Oh, so simple but effective.
Exactly. Simple, but they get the job done.
I bet you got to be careful not to fall in one yourself when you're out there in the forest.
Yeah, you got to watch your step.
12 years, though, that's a long time for research.
It is. Long-term stuff.
Makes you appreciate the dedication, the patience, you know, all that goes into scientific discovery.
For sure. It's not all glamorous, but it's important.
All right, let's meet the stars of the show then, the darkling beetles. Tell me about them.
Yes. So the paper, it really focuses in on 12 species. They're either, you know, particularly rare, or they have some really unique features that make them stand out.
The special ones.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I won't bore you with listing all the Latin names.
Thank goodness.
But I do want to highlight the four species that are totally new to Turkey. Okay, ready? Pentaphyllus testaceus, Philhamus aharonii, Stenosis fulvipes, and Tenebrio punctipinus.
Wow, I'm going to need to write those down.
They're the VIPs of the beetle world in this paper, that's for sure.
Four brand new species. That's amazing. Any other surprises?
Oh, there's more. They also found confirmed, I should say, the presence of Pendophilus reidnitzii. Now, this is interesting because before this, everyone thought it only lived on the island of Cyprus.
Cyprus?
Yeah, just Cyprus.
So how did it get to Turkey? Did it, like, take a little beetle boat?
Huh? Maybe. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure, but it does raise some really interesting questions. Right? Was it always there, just hidden, or did it travel somehow? Mm. More research needed.
It's like a beetle mystery.
It is. And this is why finding these species, documenting them, it's so important. It opens up whole new avenues for research.
Okay, so new beetles, good for science.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes these special? Are they like shiny, colorful?
Well, some might be, but that's not the main thing. What's really cool is that most of them are what we call saproxylic.
Saproxyl.
Yeah, it means they live in deadwood.
Deadwood.
Yep. So basically, they're like the unsung heroes of the forest, really.
The unsung heroes.
They're decomposers, which means they break down all that dead stuff, the fallen trees, and they recycle the nutrients back into the ecosystem.
So they're like the cleanup crew, keeping the forest running smoothly.
Exactly. And this is where TOHP, all that research, it becomes so important. Because by understanding these beetles, we can manage forests better, you know, for the benefit of everyone and everything that lives there.
That makes sense. Okay, I gotta ask, because, you know, these beetles might not be the most glamorous creatures, but I bet they have some pretty cool life cycles, right? Like something interesting going on.
Oh, absolutely. They have some seriously fascinating lives, way more complex than you might think. For example, there's this one beetle. It's mentioned in the paper, Cryphaeus cornutus.
Cryphaeus cornutus. Okay,
yeah, so this one has, get this, it has horns on its head.
Horns, like a tiny rhinoceros beetle?
Well, maybe not quite that dramatic, but yeah, you get the idea.
Wow.
And the males, they use these horns to fight for mates. You know, big wrestling matches, trying to flip each other over, all for love.
That's amazing. So much drama, even in the world of Deadwood.
Right. It just shows you there's this whole world happening that we often don't even notice. And it's full of surprises.
Nature never disappoints.
Never. And these discoveries, they highlight how much we still don't know. There's so much more to learn out there.
Okay, so new beetles, they're important for the forest, got it. But how does this affect me, you know, someone sitting here listening? What's the connection?
That's where we bring it to the bigger picture. Biodiversity loss, it's a huge issue, a global one. We're losing species so fast, and everyone that disappears, it weakens this web of life.
It's like pulling blocks out of a Jenga tower. At some point, the whole thing's going to fall.
Exactly. And discoveries like this, they remind us that there's so much out there we still don't know about, things that need protecting. Even seemingly insignificant creatures, you know, these beetles, they all play a part in keeping our planet healthy.
Okay, I get it now. So next time I see a beetle, I'm gonna think twice before I, you know.
Yeah, give them a little nod of respect.
I will.
Yeah.
One thing that really, you know, jumped out at me from this paper was this comparison of beetle species in Turkey and France. Apparently, only 4.5% of, like, ground-dwelling beetles are shared between the two.
That's right. But here's the really interesting part. When you look at those saproxylic species, the ones we've been talking about, the dead wood lovers, that number jumps to 42.9%.
Whoa, that's a huge difference. Why is that?
Well, this is where we get into, you know, this field called biogeography.
Biogeography, okay.
It's basically the study of why species are where they are, how they got there, like a big detective story. And the fact that these saproxylic beetles are, you know, more similar between France and Turkey, it suggests that maybe, you know, they're less affected by things like climate or specific geographical barriers because they've got that deadwood niche.
Makes sense. Like they have their own little world, their own way of spreading.
Exactly. And this just shows how much more we have to learn,
yeah,
you know, about what influences where species end up. Nature's full of these little mysteries.
Absolutely. And speaking of mysteries, the paper also pointed out that, well, three quarters, a big chunk of the beetles I talk about are saproxylic. And they said that those types of beetles are the least studied, especially in Mediterranean countries.
That's true. And there are probably a few reasons for that. You know, those saproxylic habitats, the deadwood, it's often overlooked.
Overlooked? How so?
Well, sometimes it's even actively removed from forests, you know, when people are managing them. Plus, studying, it's just harder than, you know, going out and looking at stuff on the ground.
So out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah. A bit. And maybe there's some bias, too. You know, people are more drawn to the flashy creatures, the easy-to-see stuff.
So we need to give these deadwood beetles more love.
We do. Yeah. They're vital for those ecosystems. And understanding them, you know, where they are, how many there are, It's crucial if we want to protect these forests effectively.
I agree. We got to remember that biodiversity, it's not just about the big charismatic animals. It's about the whole web, from the tiniest beetle to the tallest tree.
Okay. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well said. It really makes you think, you know, what other cool stuff is out there just waiting to be found?
Right. It's exciting to think about. And it just shows why research, you know, keeping at it, it's so important.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to, you know, understanding all this biodiversity. Like, there's this beetle, Eledonoprius serifrons.
Eledonoprius serifrons.
Yeah, try saying that three times fast.
I'll pass.
Anyway, it was, for a long time, people thought it was only found in Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, like just that one spot, nowhere else. So, you know, it was considered endemic to that area.
Endemic, so like a real homebody beetle.
Exactly. But guess what? They found it in Italy.
No way.
Yeah, like it just popped up and said, surprise.
It's a globe-trotting beetle.
And since then, they found it in even more places. So its range, you know, where it lives, it's bigger than we thought.
This little beetle's getting around.
And this is what I mean, you know. When we keep looking, keep asking questions, you never know what we'll find.
And this is all from, you know, scientists doing their thing out there exploring.
Yeah. This is how our understanding of biodiversity changes, grows. We get more data, more information, and suddenly, bam, the picture changes.
I bet there are, like, tons of surprises still out there just waiting to be uncovered.
Oh, I have no doubt. So many cool adaptations, relationships, ecological stuff. We haven't even scratched the surface.
It's like we're putting together a giant puzzle, one piece at a time.
I like that, a puzzle. And that's why, you know, funding research, especially for things like, you know, conservation, it's so important. The more we know, the better we can protect these amazing places.
Okay, research check. But what about, you know, the average person? Like, what can our listener sitting at home do to help with all of this? It seems like such a big problem.
Oh, for sure. It can feel overwhelming. But there are things, first off, support those organizations that are out there, you know, actually doing the work to protect biodiversity.
Donating, volunteering, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Even a small amount can make a difference. And there's also all those citizen science projects.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
They need volunteers all the time, you know, to collect data, help with research. And you learn so much, get to be involved in real science.
Sometimes right in your own backyard.
Right. And even just, you know, in your daily life, reducing your impact, making those eco-friendly choices, it adds up.
Things like reducing how much stuff you buy, choosing sustainable products, all that.
Yeah. Thinking globally, acting locally, that's the idea.
It all counts. You know, we've been talking a lot about the science, the data, but I want to, for a moment, just appreciate the beauty of these forests. Like, imagine ancient oak trees, sunlight filtering through the leaves, the wind in the branches.
It's magical.
It really is. And there's so much more than just, you know, numbers on a spreadsheet. They're alive. They're these vibrant ecosystems that benefit, you know, everyone, people, and wildlife.
Absolutely. They clean our air, they filter our water, they help regulate the climate. Plus, you know, they're home to so many species, and they give us places to relax, to escape, to just connect with nature.
And we can't forget the cultural side of things. I mean, forests have always been, you know, special places. They have stories, myths, legends, all woven into them.
So true. People have been drawing inspiration from them for centuries. Art, music, literature, it all goes back to the forest in some way.
So, yes, we've talked about beetles, about biodiversity, all that, but it's about more than that. These forests are, they're magical places. They deserve our respect, our protection.
100%. And this kind of brings us back to, you know, that main message from the paper, this idea that everything is connected. Like, we're talking about these tiny beetles, but really it's all tied to these bigger issues, you know, biodiversity loss, climate change, the health of our planet. It's all related.
It's like we're looking at this tiny detail, this small piece, but it helps us understand the whole picture, the whole web of life.
Exactly. It's all about perspective. And speaking of which, you know, there's another example in the paper. It talks about this beetle, Alphatophagus obtusangulus.
Alphatophagus obtusangulus. Okay, another mouthful.
Right. But anyway, this one was originally found, get this, on a tiny island in Croatia.
Another hidden room species.
Pretty much. And just like that Eledonoprius, it's spread out since then. They found it in France, in Greece. Now it's considered pretty common in the Western Mediterranean.
That's incredible. These little beetles are showing us how much we still don't know, you know? It's a reminder to stay curious, keep exploring, always expect the unexpected.
That's the spirit. Who knows what's out there? Maybe the next big discovery is waiting right in your own backyard.
You never know. So, to all our listeners, next time you're out in nature, take a closer look, you might be surprised by what you find.
Totally. The world is full of wonders, just waiting to be discovered.
Makes you wonder, right? Like, what else is out there? Just hiding, waiting for us to find it.
I know. And it just highlights again why we got to keep doing this research, keep pushing forward. Because like we've been saying, we can't protect what we don't even know is there.
Absolutely. Speaking of protection, you know, we should mention that these forests, these Turkish oak forests, they're facing some serious threats, right? Like a lot of places around the world.
Yeah, for sure. Habitat loss is a big one. Deforestation, climate change, invasive species, all putting pressure on these ecosystems.
It's a lot, yeah. And it's a reminder that we can't just assume these places will always be there. We got to be, you know, active in protecting them.
Totally agree. We have a responsibility, right? To be stewards of the planet, to speak up for these places that can't speak for themselves.
Well said. You know, this brings us to, well, kind of the end of our deep dive here. It's been quite a journey, starting with that really dense scientific paper, and we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. Thanks to you, I think we managed to make sense of it all.
You were the guide. I was just along for the ride.
Huh. Well, we learned about biodiversity, about these fascinating beetles, and really about how important research is for understanding and protecting our planet.
It's all connected, right?
It really is. I hope our listener, you know, leaves this deep dive feeling a little bit more, I don't know, in awe of nature and maybe inspired to learn more, to get involved.
Me too. So to our listener out there, get out there, explore your local forests, learn about what lives there, and think about how you can, you know, contribute, even in small ways. It all makes a difference.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps. And hey, Maybe you'll be the one to discover the next new species. Who knows?
That would be awesome. Well, that's about it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time for another adventure in the world of science and discovery.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.